This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. The number of the day today is 17,281,222,665,378.63. That is the most recent data for our national debt, the amount that Congress has authorized the Treasury Department to borrow. We have once again butted up against that limit today, in fact, and negotiations over what Republicans in the House will want in return for raising the debt ceiling will preoccupy official Washington for the next couple of weeks, to be sure. Elsewhere, though, the farther you get outside the Washington Beltway, not so preoccupied, really. And that brings us in a roundabout kind of way to one of Washington, D.C.'s lesser-known landmarks, and that is where we're going to bring in Marketplace's David Gura. David, you're on, man. Tell the good people where you are.
I'm at mile marker zero. That's a small monument kind of in the shadow of the Washington Monument, right between the Washington Monument and the White House. Stand out here in the cold.
That's right. Not as cold, I will tell you, as I am in St. Paul, some hundreds and hundreds of miles away.
I bet.
Describe this thing for us. Tell us what it is and tell us why it was built.
They put this marble here in the 1920s. There was this movement to get good roads throughout the United States. It was supposed to be our equivalent of the golden milestone they have in Rome. So it's the thing from which you'd measure all distances across the United States. I'm just going to read the inscription on it here. It says, "This is the point for the measurement of distances from Washington on highways of the United States."
I will point out that Google Maps tells me I am at mile marker 924 here in St. Paul from
Very
the
good.
Zero milestone.
Good.
That's right.
And so there's this line, Kai, and I love it. President Harding spoke at the dedication of this mile marker back in 1923. So, of course, we don't have a recording of him saying it, but I found a local historian named Don Hawkins. He knows a lot about mile marker zero, and I asked him if he'd read this quote for me.
"It is appropriate that our golden milestone has been placed here in the national capital, the spiritual and institutional center of the nation. From it will diverge, to it will converge, the ceaseless tides whose movement will always keep our wide-flung population in that close intimacy of thought and interest and aim, which is so necessary to the maintenance of unity and nationality."
How awesome is that? The spiritual and industrial center of the nation. Could you get more Washington-centric than that?
A little hubris there, Kai. You know, and like so much stuff that comes out of Washington, this is something that really never went anywhere. As you said, I think Google Maps still uses it as the point of reference for distances from D.C. But you know, who else knows what this thing is or comes here to visit this thing specifically? That said, if you want to get a sense of why we have a debt ceiling, you don't really have to go too far from mile marker zero.
I'm Richard McCulley. I am the historian at the Center for Legislative Archives.
All right, so I walked over to the National Archives Building. That's just a few blocks down Pennsylvania Avenue, maybe a mile from mile marker zero. And McCulley has pulled some documents for us on the history of the debt ceiling, including the Second Liberty Bond Act of 1917.
This is how it all got started. When we talk about the debt limit today, it was with this particular bill.
This bill, the Second Liberty Bond Act, is regarded as the origin of establishing the statutory limit for the national debt.
So we were in the middle of World War I, the government needed money, and this set a limit on how many bonds the government could issue. McCulley tells me that before Congress voted on this, the Speaker of the House actually bragged about how this was, and I'm quoting here, "the vastest sum ever raised by a legislative body."
After that, the House voted unanimously for this bill.
Unanimously?
Unanimously.
How about that?
Now, the Second Liberty Bond Act was amended a few times. In 1939, we got the first limit on all categories of debt. And here, McCulley tells me he wants to make a point. Those amendments were not controversial, and they all enjoyed bipartisan support.
That has morphed into this incredible headache for the Treasury now.
So here's how it works. Congress decides what to spend money on, and then later, lawmakers have to give the Treasury Department permission to pay those bills. And at the Treasury Department, which is about 500 steps from mile marker zero, they're waiting for that permission. Richard Clarida had to deal with all this when he was at the Treasury Department. He was an assistant secretary from 2001 until 2003. And Clarida's first boss was Paul O'Neill.
And I do remember sitting in a meeting once where one official looked at Secretary O'Neill and said, "You know, we're getting a little chalk on our shoes right here. You know, we're a little bit too close to the line."
Clarida remembers using a debt ceiling playbook that was put together by two former Treasury secretaries, Robert Rubin and Larry Summers.
And they actually had a whole action plan folder that was available to the Treasury Secretary. There are sort of steps that the Secretary can take.
And Clarita Betts, that playbook is what the current Treasury Secretary, Jack Lew, is using right now. It's full of what are called extraordinary measures. And one of them is basically moving money around from one government account to another.
What it is essentially an IOU that says, okay, I was supposed to give you $100 on Monday, so I'll give you, you know, $100 plus interest in a week.
But you can only do that for so long. These tricks will run out soon. And the Treasury Secretary says that's probably going to happen at the end of the month. So not a whole lot of time, Kai, which brings us to the Capitol. I'm in the rotunda beneath the apotheosis of George Washington, and we're about 2 miles from mile marker zero.
2 miles, not that far. What'd you do, take a cab?
We took a cab over here.
Right.
And, you know, what's really funny, Kai, is that the original plans called for mile marker zero to be right here, actually, on Capitol Hill.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting. So the executive branch, I suppose, won that one.
They won that little battle, yeah.
They did, yeah. So the thing is, David, that Congress and the White House are going to be preoccupied by the debt limit fight for maybe a couple of weeks now. I don't know. But I did want to ask you on the way out, has it gotten worse? Has this fight gotten worse over time?
Yeah, I think it's happening more frequently. It's gotten more acrimonious. And I talked to Don Ritchie about this. He's the Senate's official historian. He's been through this a few times now. He's been in that position for a while. And he told me that, you know, this debate has always been controversial. You know, neither party wants to do this, but the long and the short of it is they got to do it.
It gets people riled up, but there really is not an alternative to increasing the debt limit. Tip O'Neill, the Speaker of the House, used to say, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Marketplace's David Gura and the story of the zero milestone, the zero mile marker, and the debt limit. David, thanks a bunch.
Thanks, Kai.